Can I have the light here, please? Same verse again. I wanted to dilate some more on the point of the bona fide speaker and the non-bona fide speaker, Srimad Bhagavatam, a topic that Srila Prabhupada deals with considerably in his own Bhagavatam purports, especially in the first canto and the second canto. Some main point here is that Shukadeva is he's a real devotee. He doesn't think himself the doer. Kartahamiti manyate, the foolish person. Vimurhatma, one whose whole being is simply bewildered, thinks himself to be the doer, but Shukadeva as a devotee, he knows that Krishna may desire to work through him only, and he knows that, or he considers himself simply to be a medium, a servant. That's the whole point. Srila Prabhupada often spoke about this. He often spoke about bogus persons who fool others by posing themselves as sadhus. This might seem to be quite shocking because usually we think that sadhus, they just are very nice to everyone. We find in Gita, Krishna says, Adveshta sarva bhutanam, maitra karuna evacha. The first principles by which a devotee is recognized is that he's non-envious of every living being. He is friendly to all and merciful to all. So we think, well, if especially the great devotee, they should be like that. And there's absolutely no doubt that Srila Prabhupada was like that. But he demonstrated his kindness to all living beings by pointing out what is correct and what is incorrect, what should be done, what should not be done, for the benefit of all. As is stated in the beginning of this Bhagavatam, Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam. This is the highest knowledge of the Vedas propagated. It distinguishes reality from illusion for the welfare of all. So the Madhyam Adhikari is supposed to be a preacher. Srila Prabhupada, we understand, is on the Uttam stage, the topmost level, but as he explains, sometimes a topmost devotee will come down from that level to preach, in which distinctions must be made. If we say there's no difference between what is right and what is wrong, that is the philosophy of the demoniac. Pravritting cha, nivritting cha, janada vidura suraha. So in the name of spiritual life, many people are being cheated, and therefore Srila Prabhupada made it a point to point out what kind of people are cheating. Because sutratvat lingam eva hi, in Kali Yuga, people, if they have a thread on their shoulder, they'll be considered a brahmana. That's a symptom of Kali Yuga. People are very expert at cheating. Here's just one example of Srila Prabhupada speaking out about bogus gurus. This is in America, at the end of December 1968, when Srila Prabhupada was still quite new in the West. Wasn't very well known. So, you could say his position wasn't very strong in terms of public acceptance or any such thing, but Srila Prabhupada, well, I'll read a few lines from this. A transcript of this interview appears near the beginning of the book, The Journey of Self-Discovery. It is a CBS television news reporter. CBS, Columbia Broadcasting? I don't know. I don't think it's extant nowadays. I think so. He asked for Srila Prabhupada's comments because there were many gurus in the late 1960s in America. Life magazine, which was very prominent at the time, Srila Prabhupada several times said that he wanted Back to Godhead to become more prominent than Life. Well, it did do, because Life magazine collapsed. So the Life magazine did one feature called The Year of the Guru, in which they showed so many gurus and their organizations, and they reported on ISKCON also. And the report on ISKCON was more or less fairly favorable, whereas for most of the others, it pointed out that they were simply cheaters. So this was shown to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, okay, but actually we don't even want to be seen. We don't want to be mixed up with all these Mayavadis. People think we're all in the same category. So he said that better we have our own, don't identify, don't mix up with these people. Of course we weren't, but the people had mixed us up. So that's another reason to make it clear what's what and who's who. Because the people in general, in America especially, when I walk around, it's not uncommon that people think I'm a Buddhist monk. Most people in America never heard of Hare Krishna. Now, in 68, more people would have known. Probably one reason for that is that we don't dress as devotees anymore, whereas Dalai Lama and other rascals of his ilk do so. I say rascal because he's a rascal. I mean, apart from being a Buddhist, which is in the beginning, right from the beginning, what is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Vednamani Abodhoi Tonastik. The Buddhists are atheists because they don't accept the Vedas, but he should take the World Hypocrisy Prize. He already got the Nobel Prize. For peace, but for talking about peace and eating lots of meat every single day. Anyway, he goes around and his followers, his monks, go around dressed as monks. And he is not afraid to call himself a Buddhist and dress like that. So people think I'm a Buddhist monk. So I tell them I'm a Hare Krishna monk. What's that? Some old people in whatever. Oh, yeah, we remember. Oh, yeah, way back. Oh, you're still around. So anyway, the journalist said to Prabhupada, I think an awful lot of our readers and an awful lot of people in the United States are terribly confused. Well, that's true. With the many people who claim to be gurus and gods and who pop up in this country one after another, after the other, and they say that, and Srila Prabhupada interrupts and says, I can declare that they are all nonsense. Journalist, I wonder if you could elaborate on that a little bit. I can say, furthermore, they're all rascals. Yeah. For example, the famous one who sells meditation mantras. He's referring to, quite clearly referring to the so-called Yogesh Maharshi, something like this. Mahesh Yogi Maharshi, something like that. Maharishi. It's actually pronounced Maharshi, but they pronounce it Maharishi. Srila Prabhupada, his reply, he is rascal number one. I say it publicly. Journalist, could you explain, give me a little background on that, and why? Because our readers, Srila Prabhupada, from his behavior, I can understand he is rascal number one. I do not want to know about him, but what he has done makes it obvious. But the wonderful thing is that the people in the Western countries are supposed to be so advanced. How are they befooled by these rascals? Journalist, well, I think that people are looking for something and he comes along. And Prabhupada, yes, they want, but they want something very cheap. That is their fault. And Srila Prabhupada got right to the... He recognized the disease, which most people couldn't. This journalist has somewhat recognized it, but he's not quite sure. And Prabhupada tells him, yes, you're right. What you are thinking, these people are all rascals. But the journalist, well, exactly what is it? Because people may be fooled. You see, he's a nice man, he smiles, he talks about peace and love, holds a flower in his hand. But there seems to be something a little wrong. And Srila Prabhupada will point out it in the interview. So many things wrong. So many things. Cheating others. By so many ways. Prabhupada he just gets right to the essence of the analysis, that the people are looking for something, but they want something cheap. And as Srila Prabhupada said, there are many cheaters in the world. There are many people who want to be cheated, so Krishna sends cheaters. You get what you want. There's a saying from the founder of the existentialist philosophy, which we don't really need to know about, unless we're in some intellectual kind of preaching. But it's very influential in the 20th century and up to the present day. It started off this Kierkegaard there. He was a Christian of sorts. Actually, all Christians are Christians of sorts, but it eventually became more identified with atheism. Anyway, he said that very few people are actually looking for the truth. You see, this journalist said, I think that people are looking for something. And we find many people say, well, I'm searching for the truth. Actually, nowadays, you don't see so many people. Most people who are in that kind of mode, they think they already became God or merged with the totality of everything. But Kierkegaard said that few are actually looking for the truth, because if they found it, they would have to commit themselves to it. Just see. So people like to present themselves as spiritual. In America, it's quite common that people say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. There is a difference, actually, because there are many religious people who are not at all spiritual. But this spiritual but not religious, the plea for that is that, well, you just feel very spiritual, but you don't follow any dogma, and you're not affiliated with any organization, because generally religions, they are supposed to be on a spiritual basis, but they pick up a lot of material dross, which means that with the institution, there's power, position, money, buildings, and you tend to get, we may get caught up in just all the external trappings. You'll find in that interview, that meeting between Srila Prabhupada with John Lennon and George Harrison and Yoko Ono, who were famous musicians at one time and still in Britain, their names are well known, not everywhere. John Lennon infamously said at one time that now we, the Beatles, are more popular than Jesus, which might have been true in Britain at that time. No one in Britain cared too much about that. In America, there was a lot of protest. But John Lennon's already more or less forgotten. Not over in Liverpool, just next door. But a devotee just told me he was in Norway and he had these books, Chant and Be Happy with John Lennon on the front. And our standard line when I used to sell books in England in the 1970s was to open up with, you've heard of George Harrison, haven't you? Yes! So he was doing that line. You've heard of John Lennon, haven't you? No! That's Norway nowadays.
It wasn't in there. I can't remember if it's in that book or not. But anyway, George Harrison at one point asked Srila Prabhupada
that, well, what will happen if your followers, they just become absorbed in
If the movement becomes so very big, then you'll just, I'm paraphrasing, of course, there'll be just some institution and religion, and they may forget the whole point. And Prabhupada said, no, because everything's for Krishna. Everything's being done for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was quite insistent that devotees rise early, have Mangala Aarti, study his books, all these things, because otherwise, if we're just engaged in institutional activities, meeting lawyers, meeting the police to get permission for some festival, and so on and so on, we may forget the real reason why we're doing it. It may become like a job. It may actually be a job if you're paid for doing it. So, Srila Prabhupada, he made this distinction between what is right and what is wrong, and he didn't go along with the sentimentality of calling demons sadhus because they're dressed as sadhus. Srila Prabhupada said, when the journalist asked him, could you give me a little background? Srila Prabhupada said, from his behavior, I can understand he is rascal number one. Not from his dress. From his dress, you'd expect that he's a very spiritual person. But from his behavior, he, anyway, as Srila Prabhupada said, I do not want to know about him. So there's no need to elaborate on him. Anyway, he's dead now, dead and gone. And according to Isha Upanishad, such persons, along with their followers, enter into the darkest hell for having cheated others. But the point Srila Prabhupada made, that people want something cheap. They're looking for something. It's a strange psychological phenomenon that people, they're looking for something. They're discontent with their present way of life. They want something spiritual, and then some cheetah comes along and they get gobbled up, which means that they want something spiritual, but not really very spiritual. They become victimized by various impersonalists, mostly impersonal, or people who declare themselves to be God. So what is it that they want something, but they don't want they're not content with the world as that they're living in at the present time, and they're not even it may be that they're in looking for something spiritual in as much as most people are discontent, but they think that, well, if I get more money, things would be better. But just like the hippies, they didn't think like that. The hippies in the 1960s and 1970s in America, it wasn't that they were looking for money. Most of them came from quite well-to-do backgrounds. But they were at least superficially looking for something spiritual. But then, when it's offered to them, they found it's just too much, because then you have to give up sense gratification at all levels. Even the subtle sense gratification of thinking I'm very spiritual. So most people, they live very shallow lives. Yesterday I gave the example, Manchester United. A great festival of meaninglessness. There's great overrated. Everything in the material world, in the material course, everything is overrated. Having money, overrated. Manchester United, overrated. Well, maybe in the terms of football it's not, but then football itself, what is there? Or cricket, or whatever. So much fuss about all these sports. What is the... So, and underrated is spiritual life. And even in spiritual life, or what people think of spiritual life, those who are cheaters, people tend to adulate them. And the real saintly persons, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one word from Srila Prabhupada is far more valuable than all the nonsense spoken for years together by any of these cheaters or all of them put together. But Prabhupada is not so much rated. He's not so popular. So it would be very foolish of us to judge who is the real sadhu by who's most popular. People are shallow. It's a shallow world. And even when people... Yeah, shallow world means people are interested in money, sex, fancy clothes, fancy cars. Or even if they're not in particular interested in fancy clothes and fancy cars, just trivia. Trivia of various kinds. People are more interested in shadow than substance. Suhotra Maharaj wrote a book called Substance and Shadow. Very interesting book. And thus, people who don't have substance, but the substance means real spiritual life, but who make a good show of it, showmen, entertainers, they are considered sadhus. And the genuine sadhus go largely unnoticed. One reason is that genuine sadhus won't promote themselves, as Srila Prabhupada points out here. One distinct feature of Srila Prabhupada compared to the so many popular gurus in America in the 1970s was that he promoted Krishna. None of them were promoting Krishna, but he wasn't promoting himself. All these other gurus became very famous, Yogi Mahesh, and there's that one who, particularly at that time, Yogi Mahesh was very well known and very popular. He became very popular due to the, well, what, apart from his TM, so-called transcendental meditation, he became very popular or well known because the Beatles went to stay with him in Rishikesh, and then after some time staying with him, they thought he's bogus. But that boosted his popularity. The other one who was very well known was the Bal Yogeshwar, otherwise known as Guru Maharaji. He was a young Indian boy, about 14 or 15 at the time, who called himself Krishna, and he had many young followers. So those were the most popular. In a press conference in Hong Kong, Srila Prabhupada was similarly asked about this so-called Guru Maharaji, and at first he said, "I don't want to say." The reporters pushed him, and then Prabhupada said, "He's the same thing. He's a rascal. He's a demon, and all these kind of things." He said, "So he's cheating." So one reason the real sadhus won't get known is because they don't promote themselves. Srila Prabhupada, it's not that he was not into promoting, he was very vigorously promoting, but he was promoting Krishna. People all over the world came to know about the Hare Krishna movement. It became standard that in newspaper articles or magazine articles about the cults, the new religious cults, that as the main photo to introduce the article, that have pictures, a picture of devotees chanting in public, because devotees were better known than the other and recognizable. So the Hare Krishna movement was well known, but Srila Prabhupada, although he accepted worship from his disciples as his proper Acharyang mang vijani yan avamanyeta karhi chitna martya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu. As Krishna states in the in his instructions to Uddhava, one should know the Acharya to be as good as myself and not disrespect him in any way. You should not consider him an ordinary worldly person because he is the representative of all the demigods and saintly people. So Srila Prabhupada accepted that worship. He was not reticent about being glorified in public, especially when he would arrive at an airport. There were often uproarious welcomes for him with tremendous kirtan, and the people had quite
amazed by all of this, but his preaching was clearly about Krishna and about the philosophy given by Krishna. Even though, if you want to spread a movement widely to tell people you're not the body, bodily sense enjoyment is a trap in this world, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, these all have to be forsworn. Nowadays, there are many people who are vegetarian, it seems mostly for health reasons. But them, it's not that they're doing it particularly to be saintly, but because if you tell them about giving up illicit sex, they won't be very enthusiastic about that. But Srila Prabhupada did, because he wanted to give what people needed to hear. This distinguished him from so many bogus people. And he demanded surrender. Demanded means that, of course, he couldn't just walk up to people and tell them, now you have to surrender to Krishna. But he gave the philosophy. He exhorted people to follow it. His policy wasn't just to say, well, this is Krishna consciousness. If you like, you can take to it. But following the example of Shastri, he said, you must take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's like committing suicide. Rideham adyang sulabang sudur labhang pavan sukalpo guru karnadharam. Mayanukulena nabhasvateri tampuman bhavadim natarit saatnaha. As Krishna also said to Uddhava, that this human body is very rarely attained. It's like a suitable ship for crossing the ocean of birth and death. There's the guru who's like an expert captain for piloting the ship across that ocean, and Krishna's instructions in the Shastra, they're like the favorable winds to blow the boats. So if we have all these facilities, but still we fail to get free from birth and death, we don't make that endeavor, then we are figuratively committing suicide. So Srila Prabhupada preached very strongly, but of course he couldn't compel anyone to take to Krishna consciousness, because it's a voluntary process, but he had demands. If you want to be initiated, you have to follow these points. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to present Krishna as he is, Bhagavad Gita as it is. That might not be very popular. It's a bit of a quandary, because on the one hand, we want to spread Krishna consciousness very widely and bring many people to Krishna consciousness. But on the other hand, people don't want Krishna, because that's why they're in this material world. That's why we're all here. Krishna bhuli, seji vanadi bahimukh. Forgetting Krishna since time immemorial, we are inimical to Krishna. So there may be various techniques to bring people to Krishna, but ultimately it can't be anything cheap, because Krishna is not something cheap. Although he says, what is that? Ananyas cheta satatam yomang smarti nitya shahatasyaham sulabam parta nitya yuktasya yoginaha. He says that for one who thinks of me always, I become easily available. Sulab means easily available to someone who's always engaged in my service. But then to be always engaged in Krishna's service, that's not cheap. Krishna makes himself available to those who are completely dedicated to him in all respects. Ahaitukiya pratihata bhakti, unmotivated, uninterrupted, pure devotional service to Krishna. So we can't it's not simply by propaganda. There has to be, we can make propaganda, but there has to be something, the real essence, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Books are the basis. This knowledge of Krishna consciousness is the basis. Otherwise, if we make it very cheap, if we try to attract people to Krishna without giving this substantial knowledge, then we become Prakriti Sahajiyas who have everything. They like about, it's a specially designed form of Krishna consciousness with everything you like, and everything you like is there, and everything you don't like is, well, we don't bother about that. We don't. So we like kirtan, we like prasadam. We don't like philosophy very much. So we can have a long kirtan and at the end a nice feast and no discussion of philosophy. And we all like to be friends, so it doesn't matter whether we all just come and do kirtan. It doesn't matter whether you're following or not following, or all these things don't matter. So that way we become Prakriti Sahajiya. Just be friendly with everyone, be nice to everyone, and don't make any distinction between who's for, because everyone's a devotee, we may say. But to not make distinctions, that is done by the neophyte devotees. They may, just for the sake of living peacefully in this world and not bothering their heads about trying to uplift anyone, they may say, well, everyone's a devotee, we shouldn't make distinctions. And the very topmost devotee, but the Madhyam Adhikari, the preacher who's acting on, as an emissary of the Supreme Lord, must make distinctions, say, no, this is right, that is wrong. So we can try to promote some brand of Krishna consciousness, but the real brand is the same brand that Krishna gave to Brahma, Brahma gave to Narad, Narad gave to Vyas, Vyas gave to Madhva, and so on, down to the present day. It's a very serious matter. We simply by making... the thing is that we want people to come to Krishna consciousness, and people are generally shallow and they like things that are cheap. If we can promote any nonsense thing, and people are so stupid they'll take it up, the prime example being Coca-Cola, which, and there are millions of examples, but Coca-Cola has no nutritional value, as far as I remember from 45 years ago or so when I last drank, it doesn't taste particularly nice. If it wasn't advertised, no one would ever buy it, but it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Why? Because it's just promoted. And how is it promoted? Just with jingly advertisements. It just goes to show that people are stupid and they want something cheap and they're prepared to spend money on it also, just because they're stupid. So we may think that, well, we're dealing with stupid people, and so let's present Krishna consciousness in a way that we can attract them. But we shouldn't go down to their level. The devotee, he may extend his mercy down, but he doesn't go down to their level. His endeavor is to pull them up. So it's not that we should present Krishna consciousness in a very cheap way. Although these bogus gurus in America, they knew by setting themselves up, I guess they knew, Krishna's in their heart giving them intelligence also, how to execute their cheating schemes. So they knew that, well, people are looking for some kind of idol and you can manipulate them. Hitler was expert in this. So you set yourself up as some great mystic personality. This TM guru had a long beard and talk in a dress like a, almost like a female and speak in an almost female voice. That seems to be the standard for sadhu. And be, to be very gentle, just like this. Ah, ah. Not Prabhupada wasn't like that at all. So people think, oh, how wonderful. And they become attracted. But again, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to present Krishna only, and he didn't cheapen himself. Nor did he think that, well, people, let people become attracted to me. He didn't think like that. He simply wanted people to be attracted to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's disciples, many of them were extremely attracted to Srila Prabhupada because he represented Krishna to them, and he was simply an amazing personality. But Srila Prabhupada would always direct them toward Krishna. When one of his disciples was again and again saying, Prabhupada, I don't know Krishna, I only know you, which is a bona fide sentiment for a disciple, but then Srila Prabhupada didn't accept it. He said, no, put your devotion should be for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, as the acharya of the whole universe, Jagat Guru, he was very attractive and he accepted, he cultivated his disciples' devotion to him, but it was all clearly centered on Krishna. That this tattva gyan he would present daily, that daily, practically continuously, that we are disciples of Srila, we have come to Srila Prabhupada because he's giving us Krishna. Krishna se toma, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakati ache. Remembering Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Srila Prabhupada would make that very clear. Srila Prabhupada was the most endearing personality. He was decorated with all the great qualities of a Vaishnava. He was very attractive, but he made it clear that that attractiveness is because he reflects the attractiveness of Krishna, and our devotion to him means that that devotion to him is to be channeled through him up to Krishna. He's a medium by which the mercy of Krishna comes down and our offering to Krishna goes through him up to Krishna. So Krishna is the center. We often hear we have to put Srila Prabhupada in the center. Well, yes, okay, but we have to remember that Srila Prabhupada put Krishna in the center. That's the whole point. Otherwise, why Srila Prabhupada in the center? In one sense, we could say Srila Prabhupada is just another jiva. So why? Of course, he's not just another jiva, but ontologically, he's a jiva. Then why rate him at all? In Islam, some of the sects of Islam, Wahhabism, they say, well, you shouldn't even worship, well, actually all of them say you shouldn't worship Muhammad, you shouldn't celebrate Muhammad's birthday because it's only Allah. So that's going too far, because Krishna himself wants that his devotees be worshipped and respected, but the devotee is a devotee because he wants Krishna to be respected. That's the whole point. So they're both glorifying each other, but again we have to remember that the center is Krishna. We worship the Guru because he points us to Krishna. Krishna Kripa Shimurti. That's in Hindi and other similar languages. His divine grace. This term that is given as Krishna, because if you're going to write in Hindi, for instance, founder Acharya of ISKCON, then you're not going to write his divine grace. So the Hindi version is actually from Sanskrit. Krishna Kripa Shri Murti, which means the very form of the of Krishna's mercy. Krishna is the center. So, while glorifying the Guru, we should understand why. Otherwise, it can become, if we don't understand why, then it becomes something like Sai Baba or something like this, in which there's nothing behind it. It's just, oh, it's so wonderful. Makes Rolex watches come out of his sleeve. Oh, I was supposed to be out of his hand. Has made a drinking water project for the whole of Anantapur district. Well, if he's actually God, then he'd just make it rain, but as he's not God, he takes all the money that people give him, thinking that he is God, and made a drinking water project to bring water from places where there is rain to Anantapur, which is suffering terrible drought for many years, probably because of him, because he's there, being such a sinful person. Anyway, Sai Baba, at the end of his life, eventually did something good for the whole world. He died. This statement might not be very popular, but philosophically speaking, it's correct. We're supposed to speak the truth. So there's no question of overrating a pure devotee, but we should know for what reason. Why do we glorify Srila Prabhupada? Because he smiled? Yes and no, that's not the central reason. Because he told jokes? Well, there are probably many people who are in terms of humor, better jokers. Srila Prabhupada, he did tell jokes, sometimes really wasn't a professional joker. So we love Prabhupada for all these things. He smiled, he joked. He taught us basics of human behavior, just like, taking a bath first thing in the morning every day, rising early in the morning, these things we didn't know. So we're grateful for so many things, but so many things he taught us, even if he taught us to rise early in the morning, take bath after evacuating. If he taught us all these things, but he didn't teach us pure devotional service to Krishna, then it wouldn't be that valuable. Of course, it's definitely better to rise early in the morning and take bath, but without Krishna consciousness, without a clear understanding of Krishna, then all these things in and of themselves have no real value. So, we glorify Srila Prabhupada because he's a great devotee of Krishna. That's an understatement, but what can we do? We have to get by with whatever language we have. And we may glorify Srila Prabhupada's disciples also. Again, if someone wants to be glorified, there's something seriously wrong there, as Srila Prabhupada points out. So again, it becomes a quandary, because the great devotees who are actually great, then others, being very grateful to them, will worship them, or even as a matter of duty, one should worship the Guru, but then he shouldn't want that. But on the other hand, he shouldn't deny it. Srila Prabhupada even taught his disciples how to perform Vyasa Puja to himself, because they didn't know. He gave them his own pranam mantra to chant, because they didn't know. So Srila Prabhupada did all these things. And that's a natural tendency. If we're actually devotional, then we want to glorify the devotees, especially the higher level devotees who are giving us so many contributions, teaching us about Krishna, inspiring us in Krishna consciousness. And people may protest. Why are they giving so much honor? But that is culture, actually, to honor honorable persons, even by bowing down to them and so many things. But sometimes it happens, and we have seen in our Krishna conscious movement that some devotees who are honored in such a way, then they fall down from the honorable position. And then people think, oh, well, I gave so much of my energy, my life, my hopes, my faith, and then just turned out to be some scumbag who just engaged in some very low activities. So then devotees become disappointed. And it's not uncommon that we see devotees who've been in a movement for many years and apparently very advanced and know the philosophy and everything, but then they struggle, they're seen to be struggling, or they may fall from that position altogether. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're an outright cheater. It may be that they've accepted such a position for service, but they didn't maintain it. It's not that accepting a position, a respectable position, and then in the eyes of others betraying them, it's not that that's laudable or acceptable, but it may happen that someone is sincerely serving Krishna, and then on the at the incitement of others, he may take a position in which honored and respected, and then falls from that position, which causes a lot of damage in Vaishnava society. But they may not be in the same position as persons who, from the outset, they teach all bogus philosophy. It may be that they've become swayed by Maya in course of time, although that wasn't their original intention. But we have to be very careful. Appearances can be deceptive. That's this interviewer near the beginning of this talk. He appeared to be confused. On one hand, it seemed that he had a tendency to want to respect the sadhus, but at the same time, couldn't bring himself to do so because they're so bogus. But still, when we see them, they talk like a sadhu, they walk like a sadhu, they dress like a sadhu, but then why are they charging at the time $35? Now it's $2,000, I'm told, for this mantra and this process. And what is it anyway? Because if you examine more deeply, there's nothing really there. And the so-called Maharishi himself said, it's not a religion, it's a relaxation technique. So why does he call it transcendental? It's a relaxation technique that can help you cope with stress and all this kind of thing. And that if many people do it, then peace will come to the world because non-peacefulness comes from people being overly stressed. So if they do meditation, they'll become more peaceful. Which is probably true. I don't doubt that people who do this relaxation technique, which he does, is not really meditation, but it's some relaxation technique, most likely they do become released from a lot of stress. But what's the ultimate value if you're released from stress, but you're not released from birth, death, old age, and disease? Devotees live quite a stressful life mostly, with so many things to do, rising, you're supposed to rise early. I can see Grihastha devotees, they have a full life of work and family responsibilities, and on top of that, they're supposed to do about 6 hours of sadhana every day, which very few of them manage to do, but the, many of them do their best, and to cram it all in is, it's almost like Krishna consciousness adds to the stress. And especially considering that your friends and relatives, they're not very favorable toward it and all this kind of thing. So getting free from stress, that is not our aim. Our aim is to be pleasing to Krishna. But Maya is always tugging, and even someone who's sambhavita, who's highly respected for advancement in Krishna consciousness, you have to see. They also require, they may require protection. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't require that, but it may be that, you see, a sannyasi is supposed to travel with some, generally they'll travel with a brahmachari assistant. The assistant is not only to carry his water pot, traditionally. Nowadays it's more likely to be a laptop than a water pot. Times change. But that's also to help protect him, keep him out of trouble. Govinda was the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was, as usual, in the his usual state when he was moving around in the day was one of either what was called external consciousness or towards semi-internal consciousness. Anyway, he's always absorbed in love of Krishna. And when he heard from the temple the sound of Gita Govinda being sung very sweetly, he ran to him to find the singer and embrace him. And Govinda, his servant, ran behind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running through thorny area, he didn't notice because he was so blissful in hearing that song. Govinda ran after him. He couldn't catch him. Who can catch Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Then Govinda called out, "It's a woman!" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, that sound, woman, came, that pierced through his ecstasy. And then he realized that the singer is singing very beautifully. Who he's running to embrace is a woman. Then he stopped. He said, "Govinda, you saved my life." Can you imagine what it would be if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran in the temple and embraced a woman singer? So he said, "You have saved my life." Govinda saved him. So in the modern world, it's not at all impossible that a sannyasi can be like that in a public place, and without any warning, a woman will come up and embrace him. So it's good to have some assistant who can help deal with such situations and try to stop that. All kinds of things. Anything can happen anytime. So careful means also that the those who are in that respected position, they should also not be carried away by it all. Why respect it? Because Krishna consciousness, so should be in Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna. No private life, no holidays, just all the time and visibly engaged in Krishna service. Anyway, that's a big topic, but this point that Srila Prabhupada alludes to in this purport about cheetahs, we should be very careful of that. Within our Krishna consciousness movement also, there may be cheetahs. There may be those who started off very sincerely but gradually became diverted. We may not reject them wholly, because if their intent is ultimately to serve Krishna, then Krishna says, "Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhureva samantavya samyagvya vasito hi saha." Even if someone is very badly behaved, if their actual intent is to worship me only, then they should be considered a saintly person. So that they're distinguished from persons who from the very outset are simply cheating others. So all these considerations have to be there. That's why we have to study Srila Prabhupada's books, discuss this philosophy here, because there's so many different considerations, how Maya can catch us, how we have some misunderstanding. We may think, well, we'll just chant, but that only chant Hare Krishna. But actually none of our acharyas, even Haridas Thakur, he would also, it wasn't that he was only chanting, not that we can chant as Haridas did, 3 times 64 rounds a day, minimum every day. But he would discuss philosophy also. It's required, otherwise we may be chanting but have various misconceptions. There are many Mayavadis who also chant Hare Krishna, but they don't advance in love of God because they have the wrong understanding. So this correct understanding is required. Srila Prabhupada in particular warned us against persons who are cheating just by some promotion, like some advertising agency or something, just like promoting Coca-Cola, you can promote someone to be God. Any of you, if you ever get fed up with your jobs, you could become God. You get lots of money, you get fame and everything. There was someone in South India about 20 years ago did that. He was working in the Life Insurance Corporation office and he thought, I need a change of job. So he became God, became a Kalki avatar, had many followers, still has many followers, lots of money, name and fame. And of course, he is going to hell at the end of it all. But many people think that he's God because they're stupid. So we should be very careful. I understand these things very carefully. And in this way, we can make proper progress on the path back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please?
Recently we met Sri Vaishnava Guru, and he was asking to define who is Vaishnava. And he concluded who has the marks of Shankar Chakra on the shoulders. What are the verses we can quote authentically? Who is Vaishnava? But by Prabhupada's philosophy, we know
who is a Vaishnava? A Sri Chakra, Sri Vaishnava Acharya quoted a verse saying that a Vaishnava is one who has the impression of Shankara and Chakra on his shoulder. And you want to know, what should we say from Srila Prabhupada's philosophy? Well, actually it's not Srila Prabhupada's philosophy. But we shouldn't even say Srila Prabhupada's philosophy, because he always presented that he's presenting the actual message of the absolute truth, not that it's something that he made up. His authenticity is that he's not presenting his philosophy, he's presenting Krishna's philosophy as received in Shastra. Sometimes we already say that Srila Prabhupada's philosophy, ISKCON philosophy. Philosophy actually means tattva gyan, to know things as they are. It doesn't belong to any one person except Krishna. Well, that is one statement in Shastra, that Vaishnavas have Shankar and Chakra. There are many other statements as to Jarmukhe, what is that? Jarmukhe Ekba Harinam Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. He was asked by the residents of Kulina Gram 3 times, once each year, who is a Vaishnav? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the first time, one who's chanting the holy name even once is a Vaishnav. The next year they asked again the same question. He said, one who's always chanting Hare Krishna, he's a Vaishnav. And the next year he said, by simply seeing him, others start to chant Hare Krishna, he's a Vaishnava. So he gave different directions. Dictionary definition is Vishnorasya Devata Iti Vaishnava, who is has accepted as their worshipable Lord Vishnu. So that is one of the definitions given. It's not the only definition. You can have Shankara and Chakra branded on your shoulder and act in a demoniac manner also. That's also possible. You could also, if he wants to like push you to say that, well, we are Vaishnavas, you're not really Vaishnavas because we have Shankara and Chakra, you could tell him that, well, we don't find anywhere in Shastra that Vaishnavas drink coffee, as most of the Sri Vaishnavas do, but we don't really want to get in a fight with them. But if he's pushing for it, we could do. Does he mean to say that Srila Prabhupada is not a Vaishnava? He's spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. The very fact that you're being received in the Western countries only because Srila Prabhupada came. So you can ask him, do you follow everything in Shastra? No, of course they don't, because not everything in Shastra is meant for everyone. So our acharyas, they have not insisted on this. One reason is because the Shankara and Chakra, that they're more symbols of Vishnu, whereas our Sampradaya is more concentrated on Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And also because it's a very painful process. So there's some concession there that we have. We have Gopi Chandan. We just use Gopi Chandan Tilak. And we can put the names of Krishna with Gopi Chandan also. The principal symptom of a Vaishnava is this life is fully dedicated to Krishna. That's the main symptom. Is it? You shouldn't argue with any Sri Vaishnava Acharya. Please don't even think about it. You can just bow down and say yes, Hare Krishna. Otherwise, you read Prabhupada's books thoroughly and then you go and fight with everyone. Yeah, what is that? Monam sammati lakshanam. Silence is the symptom of consent. But it might be better to be silent if you don't know what to say. Srila Prabhupada warned one of his disciples. He said, I'm going to South India, so many Mayavadi sannyasis. Prabhupada, he warned, and you don't go. You don't argue with them. You can't argue with them. To another disciple, he said, you just learn a few verses from Bhagavad Gita, you can defeat their whole philosophy. So, but you have to see, Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport that the members of the Krishna conscious movement should know the philosophy very thoroughly, otherwise they'll be embarrassed and insulted when they go to preach. So choose your fights carefully. You can ask him if he's saying Shankara Chakra. You don't have that imprinted on you. So you're saying, so all these people, they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're dedicating their life. They're not Vaishnavas. And so many people, almost all your disciples, they'll all be drinking coffee every day. Where is that stated in Shastra? That you should drink coffee. South Indians, they like to drink coffee, especially. If you want a challenge, then we can fight with them also. But our real fight is with the Mayavadis, the atheists, and the demons. Yeah. People are into the so-called New Age. Very difficult to distribute books to them, yeah, because they think they already know everything.
It's much easier to distribute to
gross materialists.
To those that say that are no So, is this basically New Age yoga more dangerous than atheism?
Is New Ageism more dangerous than atheism? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said that Mayavad is worse than open atheism. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the same thing also. That half verse I quoted, Vednamani abodh hoilo nastik, Vida shritya nastik yavad bodhake adik. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the Buddhists are called atheists because they don't accept the Vedas, but those who profess to accept the Vedas but who are actually promoting something very similar to Buddhism, they're worse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. So, Mayavad, yeah, that's very dangerous. And New Age is, this what they call New Age, it's like traditional Hindu, Indian Mayavad, but without the natural piety of Hindus and Indian Mayavadis. They also have some piety, whereas in the West, they don't have any piety or any principles or nothing. So, very difficult. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.